Penguin Audio presents Mugged, Racial Demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. Written and read by me, Ann Coulter. Dedication to the freest black man in America. Chapter 1. Race Wars of Convenience, Not Necessity. The Democrat slogan during the Bush years was, "Dissent is patriotic." Under Obama, it's, "Dissent is racist." Liberals luxuriate in calling other people racist out of pure moral preening. They seem to imagine that in African-American households throughout the land, you'll find mantle portraits of Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and Keith Olbermann. More likely, those mantles would have portraits of Bernie Getz. Beginning in the 70s, there was constant racial turmoil in this country, stirred up by the media, academia, and Hollywood to promote their fantasy of America as Mississippi burning. This was madness. There had been a real fight over civil rights for a century, especially in the previous two decades. But by the end of the 60s, it was over. Segregationist violence was gone, and all public places integrated. But in their minds, liberals lived in a heroic past where they were the ones manning the barricades and marching against segregation. Liberals were hallucinating about the present and the past. Contrary to the myth Democrats told about themselves, that they were hairy-chested warriors for equal rights, the entire history of civil rights consists of Republicans battling Democrats to guarantee the constitutional rights of black people. Not all Democrats were segregationists, but all segregationists were Democrats, and there were enough of them to demand compliance from the rest of their party, just as today's Democrats submit to the demands of the pro-abortion feminists. The civil rights protests brought attention to injustice, and voters needed to know what was happening in the Democratic South, but the hoopla was unnecessary. What really made the Democrats sit up and take notice was that blacks began voting, and would soon outnumber the Democrat segregationist wing. That was accomplished by Thurgood Marshall winning cases in the Supreme Court, Republicans in Congress passing civil rights laws, and Republicans in the White House enforcing both the court rulings and the laws, sometimes at the end of a gun. Despite lingering hard feelings over the Civil War, Republican Dwight Eisenhower snatched large parts of the South from the Democrats in the 1952 presidential election. Boosted by his war record in the patriotic, military-admiring South, this Republican candidate carried Tennessee, Virginia, Florida, and Texas, and he nearly won Kentucky, North Carolina, and West Virginia, losing Kentucky by a microscopic 0.07%. The Democrats' dream team that year was Adlai Stevenson and Alabama segregationist John Sparkman. Eisenhower started a trend, but as far back as the 1920s, Republicans were sporadically winning southern states. In 1920, Warren Harding won Tennessee, and in 1928, Herbert Hoover won Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Florida, and Texas. Between Hoover and Eisenhower, Republicans didn't win a single presidential election, much less the South. The Hoover-Eisenhower southern states were the same states Nixon and Reagan would do best in, not the states Barry Goldwater carried in 1964. More on that to come. Eisenhower put a slew of blacks into prominent positions in his administration. Unlike Barack Obama, he chose competent ones, and quickly moved to desegregate the military, something President Harry Truman had announced but failed to fully implement. It took a lifelong soldier who would smash the Nazi war machine to compel total racial integration of the military. Eisenhower may have felt as his fellow Republican and soldier, Senator Charles Potter, did when he stood on crutches in the well of the Senate. He lost both legs in World War II, and denounced the Democrats for refusing to pass a civil rights bill. "I fought beside Negroes in the war," Potter said. "I saw them die for us. For the Senate of the United States to repay these valiant men by a watered-down version of this legislation would make a mockery of the democratic concept we hold so dear." When Eisenhower ran for re-election in 1956, the Republican Party platform endorsed the recent Supreme Court ruling in Brown v. Board of Education, desegregating public schools. The Democratic platform did not. Indeed, a number of Democratic governors proceeded to ignore the landmark decision. Ike responded by sending in the 101st Airborne to walk
Sample complete. Ready to continue?